Well, good morning, everybody. And Tom and I thought to kind of start things off here. We'd give an overview of the topic, as Dory said, some history and our thoughts on some future needs. I'd like to recognize Tom also. He's sitting out here. So put your hand up for a moment, Tom. It's the other co-author. Embarrass him. But my co-author on the topic here. And as we look at this topic, what we find out is that they're actually the idea that there are links between soils and human health really is not a new idea. There have been instances throughout over thousands of years of people saying, look, there's some connection going on here. You can go into the Bible, go back to 1400 BC, so 3,500 years ago, and you can find references to the fertility of the land and the health of the people being connected. We can go into the workings of the Greek scientist philosophers like Hippocrates, and we can find links between or acknowledgement of links between the earth itself and the health of the people that are in that area. So, we come a little bit more recent. We look at the 1700s, the 1800s, and we find that we have writings like this from de Cuvier, who says, people basically depend on the soils that they are, that they're relying on for their livelihood. Okay? Plants are good on good soil. Plants are poor on poor soils. People are no different, according to de Cuvier. We rely on that. And, we had a book. The book came out in 2002, but a book by Stoll, who says that you go back to the 1800s and you can find recognitions by farmers here in America that, we depend upon the land in order to have an enduring society. So there's nothing really new about the idea that there are links between soils and human health. Not a lot of science going on in 1400 BC or in the Greek philosophers. There's a lot of thought process, not a lot of investigative process. But we have that acknowledgement at any rate that we can look back at. Now we get to the 1900s, we start to see a lot of interest in soils and human health. A wide number of people that worked with it. I'm going to touch on just a few of them here. Tom and I actually recently, we have a paper that will be coming out very soon that goes into much more detail on some of this stuff. But it ranges from government agencies to private companies, to scientists who are kind of pursuing things on their own, or maybe on their own is the wrong way to put it, but are pursuing an agenda that's very much of their own design. Here we have an example of industry, an International Harvester Corporation with a publication back in 1940. And this is just one of the many quotes. Again, our paper has several additional quotes out of this book in it, or booklet. But, we got Haynes saying that, poor soils lead to people with poor health. Okay? We rely on those soils for our health. Here's a guy that who has a known name. Does anyone recognize Sir Robert Howard? And, Howard talked about soil and human health connections. His books, he's most famous, of course, for his work with organic agriculture, and this book is very much a tomb of the organic agriculture movement, but there is a chapter in the Soil and Health where he talks about links, as he views them, between health of the soil and health of the people who are consuming the goods grown in those soils. He has some other works as well. We'll just look at the one here today due to time constraints, but he has other writings as well that deal with it. Where we have the French scientist André Vosson probably wrote the first book on soils and human health. The entire book deals with that issue. The title, Soils, Grass, and Cancer, is slightly misleading in that the book itself does not focus solely on cancer. He touches on all kinds of things, diabetes, child birth deformities, along with cancer, but he covers a whole spectrum of health issues in the book. And he really comes to the conclusion at one point in time, I remember it was right at the very end of the book, but he has a statement in the book, to paraphrase it. He says, you know, the medical profession has pretty much ignored soils when we talk about preventative medicine. He goes, soils should be the foundation of preventative medicine. This is where it all starts. So, this is over 50 years ago, and we have people that that are looking at that. So, in 1997, Margaret Oliver published a review paper on soils and human health in the European Journal of Soil Science, and she said, there's a long history of this idea of having connections. But what we're lacking, as we enter the 21st century, what we're lacking are well-designed scientific studies. We've got lots of anecdotes, we've got lots of evidence that this link exists. We don't really have a lot of good science that ties soils and human health issues together. And so that's what we need, is where we need to go. Okay. So... We need to flip things up sometimes. Sometimes I forget to do that as I'm talking about stuff. All right, so kind of a where are we at right now with the field. This is just a look, and this, I know that you're not all be scribbling down notes furiously and get all these in your notebooks. But if you do have an interest in going back and looking at some of these papers and seeing what's being said by people right now, this is just a list of some of the review articles just in the last 5 years on this topic, so it's drawing a good deal of interest at this point in time. And this presentation is being recorded, so if you want to find these later in the comfort of your office, back at wherever you're from, you can go onto the Society site and download this and take a look at it. We have several people that are doing work on it and that are summarizing things that have been done. I've got a couple. Tom has been involved in some work on this, both in terms of some writing, also editing of a book that has some work on this. Ian Pepper, who's a society member, has been very involved in doing work on this. So there's interest and it's out there. These are just the review articles. There's obviously nowhere close to space on a PowerPoint slide to start putting the original research app that has been undertaken in the last decade or so. But the review articles, again, if you want to look into it, these review articles, as review articles, they're loaded with references to primary research that can take you into what's being done. Books, a couple of books that are worth mentioning, Medical Geology. This came out in 2005, and the geologists have been pretty active in this area of ties between the natural system and human health for a while now. I bring this book up in here, though, because they also recognize that soils are a big part of this. If you go through this book, it depends a little bit on exactly how you define soil, I suppose, in terms of the topics addressed. But between a quarter and a third of the chapters in this book deal with soil topics. So it's titled Geology or Medical Geology, but there's a lot of soil in this book if you start going through it. And then Dory had mentioned that I've worked on a book also, and as far as I can tell, this is the first book that is focused expressly on soils and human health topics in the modern era. So we go back and we can look at the work by Vosson, which was very much a soils and human health book also, but that was 1959. There's been a few advances since 1959, so we've got that. In terms of what's being investigated, we've got all kinds of things. Dory had mentioned the idea of nutrient transfer. We have nutrient transferring from soils into the foods that we eat, whether that be soil to plant to people through consumption of plant material, or from soil to plant to animal to people We have that transfer of nutrients taking place, and a large number of the nutrients that we rely on have their origin in the soil. Exposure to toxic levels of various chemicals has been another major area of study, and there are a number of different ways that these chemicals can end up in our soil system, everything from accidental spills to purposeful application. We put a lot of stuff on purpose, and some of those things do have potential negative health ramifications. Pathogens are a big thing. There's a number of diseases that either reside in the soil as their permanent residency, or that can survive in the soil if they're introduced through things like septic systems or other waste disposal systems, application of manures to a field as nutrient sources. And so that's an area that has gotten quite a bit of interest. Soil-water relationships, probably one of the fastest growing areas of research in the later part of the 20th century, within just in the wider environmental area. There are definite health ramifications to that. This has been a favorite topic of cultural anthropologists and of archaeologists, anthropologists, for a long time, the consumption of soil or geophagy. There's major debates within that community over whether geophagy is actually a problem or a benefit for people. And of course, there are both potentially that can be found. Medicines. This is an area that has been very important. I mean, many of you are aware that we've got a Nobel Prize winner in our soils community for isolating antibiotics from soil organisms. You may not be aware that in the modern era, approximately 60% of the prescription medicines that are out there have a soil origin, a soil connection. It's been a major source of medications. Soil conservation, obviously very important to food security issues, and we have work being done there. Okay. So lots of areas. Now, where do we need to advance? What are some of the challenges? And obviously there are a lot of different lists we put together here. This is the opinion of two of us in terms of things that we need to really pursue. But there are definitely a number of places that we need to have significant advances in. One of those is looking at the interactive relationships between chemicals that are found in the environment. And when I started getting interested in this whole soil and human health thing, one of the things that I did was I started talking to other people that had more of a human health kind of background than I do. I mean, I'm a soil scientist and a geologist, so what do I know about humans and health, right? So you start talking to people, and one of them I talked to is a toxicologist by training. So I got him interested in looking at some stuff, and he starts going through our things and says, you know what, because you soil scientists, you're really good at figuring out what's in your soil, because you don't know a darn thing about what it means. We've got all these things, we've got these chemicals involved in the soil, what's going on, just some examples of that, one example of that relationship. We've got the famous case of Iti-Iti disease, which linked to cadmium introduction into paddy rice soils in Japan, led to some really debilitating problems for the victims. But there are places in the world that have cadmium levels in their soils that are very similar to the cadmium levels linked to the Iti-Iti problem in Japan. And the people living there are not experiencing the same problems. Why not? There's a lot of ideas as to why that is. They involve diet, they involve soil conditions, you have different pHs, you have different nutrient availability or ion availability within the soil. Certain diets, diets that are deficient in zinc and iron lead to much higher nutrient or cadmium uptake in people who consume cadmium contaminated foods. We don't know right now. We don't have the answer to that, but we know there's something more complex than just you have X amount of cadmium in your soil. There's some interactions that are taking place, and we don't understand those interactions very, very well right now. Climate change is obviously a topic of intense interest and concern in many parts of the world. What might we know that soils interact with climate? They're a very integral part of the cycles like the nitrogen cycle and the carbon cycle, the hydrologic cycle, that are also have atmospheric components to them. What would changing climate mean from a soil and human health perspective? Electronic waste products. We've got all of these laptop computers, pads, iPhones, the list goes on that have some pretty nasty chemicals and metals in them. What happens to all that when they get disposed of? And when those materials make it into the environment, where do they go? What happens to them? What does that mean from a human health perspective? Contamination from e-waste is a major problem and a major concern at the moment in several developing countries. But what does it mean from a human health perspective? It's not quite as clear-cut and straightforward. Estrogens, antibiotic residues, areas that, again, are an area of concern, but a lot more information is needed. And on a little bit less traditional note, you know, we have a whole host of literature that demonstrates there are health benefits to be derived from having contact with or exposure to green space, you know, natural settings. Disease victims recover more rapidly. Surgery patients recover more rapidly from having exposure to these more natural settings, as opposed to being in a concrete type environment or what have you. There are some indications that there may also be some health benefits to soil exposure, at least a healthy soil exposure, not to contaminate soil exposure. But again, go back to what Margaret Oliver had to say at the end of the 20th century. Not much that's really scientific, just more of some observations and analogies. So might there be something there? Scientific studies would be very beneficial during that. So what do we need to accomplish all of this? And the first thing is there's nobody in this room that has the complete background to undertake all of these kinds of things solo. There are a lot of different disciplines involved in trying to look at this topic. We've got the health professions, we've got soil scientists and geologists, we've got hydrologists, sociologists, right on down the line, that all can bring something to the table on the investigation of these kinds of issues. And so we need these interdisciplinary teams, but maybe a bigger issue than saying, okay, that interdisciplinary is a big buzzword right now, and that's good, probably not a lot of argument about that. Can we talk to each other? Can we communicate professionally? That becomes a bigger issue with some of these really diverse fields that traditionally haven't really talked to each other and worked together. I mean, when was the last time someone in this room went out and talked to a physician about a research collaboration? No hands, huh? I actually got a hand one time. One time I got a hand on that question. But pretty rare. So, and then, too, on the funding end of things, do our traditional pathways of funding research, are they going to address this? Can we find money to go out and do soils and human health work? And if we can, who does it come from? Is that NSF? Is it EPA? Is it NIH? That's an issue as well, or concern as well. So I guess that's what I have for this morning. We'll do questions. Before I forget to mention it too, I'm going to apologize in advance because after questions are done, I'm going to disappear. SSSA decided that this morning was my meeting. I've already given one talk this morning. This is talk number 2, and at 9:00 I have a division meeting to go take part in as a chair-elect. So I am doing my meetings this morning.
Are there any questions?
Yes.
Are you concerned about the exploration for gas, the fracking, and that kind of thing on the soils in your part of the country in North Dakota?
Yes. The short answer to that. Most people are probably very well aware of we have this fracking boom going on in America right now. Where I'm at, Dickinson, North Dakota, we are right in the middle of oil fracking country. And so the biggest thing, and the concerns are different for different people. Frankly, the biggest thing, the biggest concern for me at the moment is disposal of waste products. I mean, you extract oil from the ground, and we end up with a lot of brine. You get a lot of water. Actually, you pump oil, and in many cases, you get as many or more barrels of water. You do oil, and that water is contaminated. And then we have spills. Right now, we're having, on average, more than a spill a day in North Dakota. And so that's a concern. Injection of that wastewater is a concern. And from my perspective, the biggest concern actually in the injection of the wastewater is the maintenance and upkeep of the casings of the wells that are being used for injection. Obviously, they're supposed to be cased. The water is supposed to be injected very deep away from potable water supplies. But the fluids are highly caustic, and without proper maintenance and proper testing, I think it'd be very easy to end up with compromised casings and to be not done to know where you're injecting that waste product at. So yeah, I'm concerned.
Thank you.